drop on the ship to keep it from moving when all the winds and, you know, all the waves. And because, you know, the current, even when it's still on top, the current under the bottom can pull you. And sometimes in life, the devil is so subtle that you can't see him on the top, but the undercurrent will begin to move us unless we have an anchor. Luke chapter 15, verse 14 reads, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." And today we're going to talk from the title, An Uncoincidental Famine. An Uncoincidental Famine. Father God, I have studied and meditated on your word. I have listened to hear your voice. But God, only you can speak the word through me. I pray right now that you just decrease me, God, that your anointing might shine through, that your word might speak, God. I pray against anything the enemy has to hinder anyone from hearing and receiving the word on today, Lord. Just pray that you would just have free reign over each and every one of us, God. Speak your word through me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In a court of law, legally, if you know somebody's going to do something and you can prevent it and you don't do it, you can be charged with conspiracy. You can even be convicted of doing something that you didn't even do just because you knew it was going to happen and there was a possibility that you could have done something to prevent it. Understanding the characteristics of God, we understand that God knows everything and God has the power to do anything, which can cause God to, by our laws, be legally a co-conspirator to every bad thing that happens to anybody, to any tornadoes or earthquakes or tsunamis or children that get cancer and die before the age of 10. We can get mad and say, God, you knew about it and you could have stopped it. But we have to understand that God did not cause every bad thing. Theologically, we understand that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they brought sin into the world. So when they brought sin into the world, it started a domino effect that trickled down, that began to create the tsunamis and that began to create the earthquakes and began to create the diseases and cause Cain to slay Abel because of the sin that came into the world. Not that God isn't a loving God, but just by chance, these things happened because sin had came into the world. And some people have some horrible things that happen to them in life just by a case of bad luck.
Well,
but I'm going to suppose to you today that sometimes what you're going through had nothing to do with Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. I'm going to suppose to you that sometimes it's not because of sin. A domino effect did not cause what was going on in your life. It was not by chance, neither did you have bad luck, but you were in an uncoincidental famine.
Well,
a famine is defined as a scarcity of food, starvation, or a great shortage. And when you see a famine happen, what a famine does, it begins to destroy everything in one place. And whoever is in that area leaves and moves and goes somewhere else. So the famine causes you to move from where you are to a whole other place. And I know some of us don't like where we are. Some of us don't really want to be at the place that we are in life right now. But we have become so used to where we are that we just stay where we are. We get comfortable where we are. And we forget about the fact that we need to be going somewhere. So in order for us sometimes to get from where we are to where we really want to be, a famine has to happen to destroy some of the things that are around you to make you say, you know what, I got to get up from here now because the things I had before are no longer here. So what you are going through sometimes is not by chance, but if God said, I'm going to place a famine in your life to move you. We have to understand that God sees this thing so far ahead of what we see.
Amen.
have already ordained for you to be the number two ruler in Egypt. So you had to get abandoned. So you had to get sold into slavery. So you had to go to jail. That way you would end up in Egypt. Sometimes we're living in Moab and we're looking for our spouse, but sometimes God got to cause a famine because your Boaz is in Bethlehem. You see, sometimes God has a ministry for you in Nineveh, but you on your way to Joppa, so a great fish has to be prepared for your life in order to pick you up and drop you off in Nineveh. So sometimes what you're going through is not by chance, but God sat there and constructed a famine specifically for you. You are living in an uncoincidental famine. The famine is not there to kill us. But the famine is there to motivate us to move. Because without that famine, we might just stay where we are forever. This is my lot. I'm going to lay in it. But God is saying, no, no. I got something that's going to move you. And the parable we are going to get into today is the parable of the prodigal son. But some years ago, when I first started reading the Bible, my co-pastor told me, I called her one day about a random scripture. I asked her a question. It was like early in the morning, too. So she was like, hold on. I'm going to call you back. I'm going to read the chapter before. I'm going to read the chapter afterwards. And then I'm going to come back so I can understand what's going on. So in order for us to fully understand the parable of the prodigal son, we have to understand the parable of the lost sheep. And we have to see the parable of the lost coin, because all these things come together. In fact, they're not really three parables. It's really one parable. The first parable, the man and that goes after the sheep, represents Jesus. In the second parable, the woman who's looking for the coin represents the Holy Spirit. In the third parable, the Father represents our Heavenly Father. So this is just showing how God moves. Chapter 15 of Luke. Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. This is Jesus. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends. Remember this, his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. For I have found my lost sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that rejoiceth more than the other 99 just persons which need repentance. Come, rejoice with me. Then he says, likewise, joy shall be in heaven. Remember this for later. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and diligently seek till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now we move into the prodigal son. And it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. This Greek word here translated living is the Greek word bios, which literally means life. Or the means of life. So he goes to his father and asks for life. So he got everything that he thought was life, packaged it up, and went away to a far country. When I was in the street, we had a saying that said, if you got all your money on you, you ain't got no money.
All right.
If you got all your life in a bag, on your way to a far country, you ain't really got your life with you. If you think everything that consists of your life gonna fit in a bag, if you think that you're going to be able to travel with everything that consists of your life, then you are sadly mistaken. So in his mind, this is all he needs for life. Well, if I have these things, then I got life. It don't matter where I'm at, I got life. I got life in my bag. I can go away from my father. I don't need to stay connected to him. I can be in a faraway country and do everything I want because I got things which are my life.
My God.
I got things which are my life. But a famine arose in that land in verse 14. And when we read the first two parables, we see the man that lost the sheep doing what he got to do to go get a sheep. He's going all the way wherever the sheep is to find the sheep. And then we see the woman who loses the coin sweeping up everything in the house and cleaning everything out to try to find this coin. And on the surface, when we look at the prodigal son and we look at the father, it would seem as if the father was just living his life, not thinking about the son. But these parables are connected. So actually, everything that's going on in one parable happens in the next. But it looks as if the father did not do anything to find his son when the other guys went wherever the sheep was and the other woman went. And looked and cleaned everything up looking for her coin. Now, I'm going to read all the way into the scripture here. The father had it going on. This father had substance for days. In fact, however long the son was gone, when he got back, the father still had some. Now, I'm going to read into this. And suppose to you that what if the father cut off the supply to the land where his son was at?
Well,
What if the father, because it doesn't seem as though in the scripture the father is looking for his son the way the man looked for the sheep or the woman looked for the coin. What if the father cut off the supply to the land to cause the famine because he knew if I cut off the supply to that land, my son will come home? I watched a movie one time with Jim Carrey, The Truman Show, and I talked about this before. And in a movie, they created this perfect little world for Truman. And it was the director of the whole show who was calling all the shots. And Truman got to a place where he was trying to lead this perfect little world that was created for him. So Truman gets in the car, and he's trying to get out of there. The director up in the sky sees everything, and he's calling to the cops and says, "Cut him off on this corner." So Truman got to turn and go another way. Cut him off on this corner. Block this way. Block that. Do whatever you got to do to keep him. And sometimes in life, we can feel like God is cutting us off. We can feel like every corner we get to, something is blocking us. We can feel like when it looked as if it was open, everything stopped us. But that's just God cutting you off to keep you inside of a perfect place that he has created for you. And we're in these famine experiences feeling some kind of way like, why is this happening to me? But the famine is not there to starve you to death. The famine is there to take you to a place where you can be fed continually. So we have to begin to change our questions when we're in a famine experience. Instead of saying, "God, why is this happening to me?" We go to God, "Well, where are you taking me? God, what have you prepared for me? God, what place do you have designed for my life that you want this famine to take me to?"
Hallelujah.
We're going to look at five things that the famine does. Five things that the famine does. Verse 14, I'm going to read. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." The New Living Translation says this verse this way: "The young man became so hungry that even the pods that he fed the swine looked good to him." Now, the first thing that famine does to you is It causes you to recognize that what you thought was life wasn't life. Because there was a time he would not have thought about even being anywhere near a pig. Now, Jesus is talking to Jewish people who look at pigs as the scum of the earth. And not only is he talking about feeding pigs, he's talking about eating what the scum of the earth eat. So now, before when he thought he had life, everything that consisted of life and everything that was good, he would not have been anywhere near here. But because the famine arose, now he's in a place where he has to recognize what I thought was life ain't life because I lost all of that. I'm in a place I would have never thought I would have been, but I'm still here. I lost everything I thought was life, but I still got life. So something must be keeping me. Something must be watching over me. Something must have been holding me. That thing that I thought was life wasn't really keeping me. So the famine will cause you to recognize that the very thing that you thought created your existence was not what it was. I can't live without this. I can't live without that. Let that be gone. I bet God still puts breath in your body. But sometimes we just are so caught up in these things.
Yeah.
That God is like, you know what? I got to show you something. Call me crazy if you want, but I want it around me to win. My faith in God, because I did not like seeing everybody say, if Obama doesn't win, it's over. Because my faith ain't in him. So I don't care who wins. My God going to supply my needs according to his riches and glory. And I said, God, let Romney win so everybody can see who really got this. Obama is not my life. In 4 more years, he will not be in office. And guess what? I'm still going to have life. Because the things that we think are providing for us, the things that we think are putting everything in place for us, are not really putting in place for us. Too often we confuse the provision with the provider.
Amen.
Whatever you got can't give it to you on its own. Something got to give it to you.
Amen.
And God is what gives to us.
Amen.
And he will have fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself. The second thing the family is going to do is make you come to yourself. You start talking to yourself. Nobody's showing my imagination. This is the way I see it. Don't do that, Sister Jackie. So I see myself, and I always see me. I see myself really bent down, you know, eating the stuff that I was feeding the pigs. But then myself is looking at myself. I'm like, dog, you tripping. We ain't got no business here. The famine makes you come to yourself. And everybody's going to say, you know, you're talking to yourself, you're crazy. You done lost your natural mind. Well, guess what? Yes, I did. Because the famine's going to cause me to be spiritually inclined. Because now I'm looking at this thing from a whole other perspective.
Yes.
So the famine's going to cause me to come to myself.
Hallelujah.
And talk to myself and realize I do not belong here. Then he says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? The famine is going to cause you to remember the father. Because sometimes we forget the father. He got his things. And he left the father not thinking about the father because he had the things. So as long as he had things, he did not think about the father. And as long as we have things sometimes in our life, we forget all about God. As long as we have everything that we want, everything that we need, as long as we're never sick, we're never going to hospital, as long as nobody around us passes away, as long as nothing else bad happens in life, we forget about God. So sometimes God has to put you in an uncoincidental famine to make you remember me. Remember me. Because now everything is gone, and because because he thought the provision was the provider. Now the provision is gone, and he starts to trace backtrack his steps and say, I had this, 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 and this. Oh, I got it. I got it from my father.
Well,
let me go back.
Yeah.
Let me go back.
Yeah.
So God will cause a famine, not because he wants to hurt us, but because he's trying to bring us into himself. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I will arise and go to my father. The first thing the famine is going to do is get you headed to a God-appointed destination.
Amen.
Because the famine is going to make you move, but God is going to cause the famine in a way to where it will only push you to where you need to be. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 41. Now, I talked about Joseph earlier, about him becoming the number two ruler in Egypt, and this is a part of his story. In Genesis chapter 41, starting at verse 55, and it reads, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you,
yes.
Do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that famine was sore in all land. Chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from this, that we may live and not die. So first Joseph had to go through a famine to get to Egypt in order for him to become the number two ruler, because there would be a famine later on that his family would have to be fed from. So now, but this famine, it says that the famine was all over. So in every area, there will be a famine except for the place that God originally wanted you to get to. So now God wants them to get to Egypt. So God says, I'm going to cause a famine everywhere. And Jacob says, why are y'all looking at each other? I heard. It's something down there in Egypt. And when we have these famines in our life, we're going to hear where we should be. And God is going to cause us. And God is going to move us. And next thing we know, we're going to be in the place where we was already God appointed to be. The famine is going to get you headed to a God-appointed destination, not your destination. When God puts a famine in your life, you're not going to go where you want to go. You're not just going to go to someplace, but God is going to create a famine that only has one way, and that way is back to where he appointed you. Let's go back to Luke. Chapter 15. So the son goes through a whole spill of how he's not a son anymore. I want to be a servant. The father's not trying to hear that. But the father said unto him, verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Now, in the first two parables, I emphasize on them saying, come and rejoice with me. And then they say, likewise, joy shall be in heaven. I want you to understand that when you're in a famine situation and when you come out of it, people ain't always going to be happy. The brother was angry because he was like, God, Father, you're throwing a party for this son of yours who wasted all his living on harlots, and he did all of this, and he just wasted everything, and you're throwing a party for him. But in all actuality, the party was not for the son. The party was because of the son, but not for the son. The party was for the father. That's why the father said to his people, come with me, rejoice with me. In the first parable, rejoice with me. The second parable, rejoice with me. Don't rejoice with the sheep. Don't rejoice with the coin, because in heaven is where the party is going to be at, because God is going to be rejoicing. Everybody in life is not going to be happy about you coming out of a famine, because they like to see you down, because they felt good about being on top of you, because they had more than you, because you were sick and they were healthy, because they had a house and you barely could pay for your apartment, but they were feeling some kind of way. But the joy, the party is going to be going on in the heavenly. So when we're coming out of these famine experiences, we can't worry about the people. We just got to begin to praise God, because in his presence is the fullness of joy, because in his presence is where the party at. Why y'all think David always danced before the Lord? He got a peek into the party that was going on in heaven, so he began to dance. He began to dance. God is.
Hallelujah.
Let's continue on. Excuse me. Where are we? Verse 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this, thy son, not my brother, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. The fifth thing the famine is going to do, it's going to connect you to the blessing.
Amen.
The father pulls the son to the side. In my mind, he got his arm wrapped around him. And he says to him, son, thou art ever with me, and everything I got is yours. So you have an issue with what I gave your younger son. But at any time, if you wanted the robe, it was upstairs in the closet. If at any time you wanted to put this ring on, it was in the jewelry box. If at any time you wanted to kill the fatted calf, it was in the barn. If at any time you wanted a party, these people were here. You whined about what I did for your brother. What you need to be whined about is you having access to all of this whole time, and you not even using it. So now the famine connects you to that access.
Yes.
So now you can look up where the robe is, where the ring is, where the calf is, at any time. You could have had all of this at any time. Everything I got is yours, and you here with me. What you crying about? Why that robe still there? That's what I've been trying to figure out this whole time. It connects you to the blessing. But when the father saw this son, it says that the father saw him from afar off and ran towards him. And then he called his servants and said, clothe him in the robe. Put some shoes on his feet. Now, the brother, since he was with the father the whole time, he had access to all this. He could have just went and got it. But when you go through a famine experience, when you come out of the famine, you ain't got to go get, you ain't got to ask. The Father going to come to you and call somebody to clothe you and call somebody to put something on your feet, because you have went through a famine experience that was not by coincidence. It was designed to bring you back to me. And when you come back to God, now God got the joy, now it's a party in heaven, and now he's clothing you. But we have to see the transition that goes on here. In the famine, he began to be in want. After the famine, he began to be married. In the famine, he was dead and lost. After the famine, he was alive and found. In the famine, he was coming to himself, talking to himself. After the famine, he was coming to the Father, talking to the Father. In the famine, he was a servant feeding pigs. After the famine, he was a son getting served. There is a transition of where you were to where God is going to take you and make you better than where you were. But you got to go through the famine experience in life before you get there. So you might be a servant now, but when you come out of that famine, you're going to be a son. You're going to be a daughter. And there'll be no more servants. God's going to call servants to serve you. Your enemies will be your footstool. You'll be weeping, may endure for a night. What the... I suppose to you that what you're going through is an uncoincidental famine. It was nothing coincidental about it. It was not by chance. It was not just a case of bad luck. But God designed a famine for you. But we get in these positions and then we get mad at God and start saying, well, where is God? But in Philippians 15, he says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that he should receive you forever. So sometimes we can have these things in our life, and we're so used to having God there, and God just doing this, and God just doing that. So we begin to turn our back on God. So God says, listen, for a season, I'm going to turn my back on you, not because I don't want to look at you, but because I want you to realize that everything I'm doing for you, I'm doing. It's not those things. So sometimes I got to let some things happen. Sometimes I got to sit there and cry. Sometimes I got to have tears rolling down my face over what's going on to you, my child. Sometimes I have to cause the earth to get black while you're up on the cross in your life. Because I really want to receive you, but you got to go through. That's why Peter says, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials, which are to try you, as though some strange thing happened. But inasmuch rejoice, for you shall be glad with exceeding joy. That's why Paul was able to say, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's why Jesus was able to tell us, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The famine is not the end. The famine is actually the beginning. So when we are in these famine situations, begin to seek the Father, begin to pray unto him, and allow that famine to take you and move you and place you to a God-appointed destination. An uncoincidental famine. A lot of times we want to feel like God would not do that, but if God did that to his only begotten son. In our scripture for the year, it says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And y'all know I see everything crazy, so this is how I see it.
Stop a second. So this is what I see. I see the cross. I see Jesus on it, bleeding, hole in the side, all messed up, dead. But then I see Jesus standing here looking at all of that.
Well,
like, I gotta do that. Then he leaned to the side. And for the joy that was before him on the other side of the cross, he said, like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get up on that. What's on the other side? I'm going to get up on that. See, that was what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying.
Well,
and he was saying, God, take this cup from me. He was looking at that thing like, oh, God, take this cup from me, God. Take this up. The third time, God, take this cup from me. And the Bible says the angels came and ministered unto him. And he began to see the joy on the other side. And the Bible says he got up, went to the disciples, were asleep, and said, arise, let's go. Come on. This cross ain't going to mean nothing to me because it's only going to last but for a season. You see, this light affliction, which is but for a season, which is much more fun, exceeding glory. You see, we got to know that this present suffering shall not be worthy to be compared to the glory. And the Amplified says that will be revealed in you, on you, through you, and by you. For the joy, an uncoincidental famine. But without God, without coming to yourself and then going to the Father, that famine will destroy you.
Amen.
That famine will kill you.
Yes.
When the enemy comes in like a flood, with no God to raise up a standard, you will drown.
That's right.
But with God, the famine that you are experiencing in life will not be a pain, but will become an usher to the glory that God has on your life. Let us all stand.
Amen.
If you want to be connected with this power that will turn your famine into a glorious situation, if you want to be connected to the power that will take this famine and cause it to put you in a place where you're connected to a blessing, come down and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God sent him to die. That was his sole purpose, was to come down here to die, to go through a famine experience of life.